Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.byteradio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my very special guest is Rhys Thomas, and he is author of Discover Your Purpose, 5 Life Purpose Profiles to Unlock Your Hidden Potential. In his life-changing book, energy medicine expert Rhys Thomas shows you how to discover your life purpose and align your decisions with your deepest self so that your life is fulfilling, productive, and full of joy. Trying to meet everyone else's expectations about the type of role you should play, whether in your job, your family, or society, can leave you constantly striving, but ultimately dissatisfied. In his inspiring book, Rhys guides you in using the Rhys Method Life Purpose Profile System to identify your purpose and reconnect with your passions so that you can find true happiness and fulfillment. Rhys is a visionary author, speaker, and teacher in the field of energy medicine, creator of the Rhys Method Life Purpose Profile System, and founder of the Rhys Thomas Institute in the Boston area. He employs energy medicine techniques to help people achieve personal and professional transformation. He is a certified energy medicine practitioner, Reiki master, and second degree black belt. So you don't want to mess with Rhys. Anyway, you can find out more about Rhys by visiting his website, which is www.rhysmethod.com. And that's R-H-Y-S method.com. And I do have a direct link to Rhys's website in the show page description. So with that, I'd like to welcome Rhys to the show. Good day, Rhys.
Thank you, Robert. Happy to be here.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed reading your book and discovering what my personal life profile is and how to unlock that potential. So I'm in the process of utilizing the tools that you have in your book. I really enjoyed it.
Nice. Yeah. So we can talk about that and find out what you
exactly,
what
yeah,
you came out as.
We'll get to that.
What does that even mean? That's great.
Exactly. Well, you know, one of the things you start off in your book, you start talking about getting clear on your big why. And if you wouldn't mind explaining, it seems to me that that's probably the whole purpose behind, you know, the life purpose profiles is to get to that why. So would you mind kind of giving the listeners a little bit of history about, your method and how you, you know, came up with it and, you know, what is that big why?
Sure. The big why has to do with understanding that there is a foundational element of who we are that is not something that our life, our memory can capture. We so much know who we are and what our purpose is and why we're here based on what we remember about ourselves. Well, I'm this type of person, I'm that type of person, I grew up like this, and I grew up in this family, and we have these thoughts that are that sort of create who we think we are and who we're supposed to be, especially who we're supposed to be. Are we supposed to be, if we're a guy, are we supposed to be a leader, a strong man, and we certainly aren't supposed to be a sissy or a softy or something. Whereas I tried to be a tough guy martial artist. He said, "Don't mess with Rhys." Well, I was that soft guy, and I was that. But I grew up in a society that really expected men to be competitive and strong, and so I thought, well, I'll be a tough guy. I'll go to a tough martial arts school, and I'll really learn to be that. And it actually taught me that I wasn't a fighter. 25 years of martial arts, I finally figured out that I was a lover, not a fighter. But I spent much of my life trying to be this competitive achieving man and wanting to grow up to be a competitive achieving man. And I was a competitive athlete and then a martial artist. And then I ran, I was a tennis pro at one of the best country clubs in the East Coast and was a speaker for the tennis industry. And I was a competitive tennis player, professional tennis player. And I did all of that with this idea that, well, of course, I'm going to be successful because that's what good men do. And thinking that success was, and I started a company that developed a product and got investment and tried to do everything as a businessman would be, which I thought all men should be. And what ended up happening was that I never quite felt like that life fit me. I never, as good as I was at it, and I was very good at it, I made good money and I did well, I never felt like people understood me, and I was always having these other sort of this sort of spiritual side of me, which was I was a big dreamer and I had a lot of dreams and I was very creative, and I was also very creative with the way I managed my budget, say at the country club and at these things, which for all of these very actual achievers, that was not okay. That was not the way they wanted me to do it. And I never really fit into that mold, even though I was trying very hard to do it. And it wasn't until I was having problems in my relationships, problems at my work, problems with my health, and those pretty much those are the three big areas. And I couldn't understand why I couldn't feel like this was really my purpose in life, even though I was working incredibly hard at it. And then I went to an energy medicine school like the one I run up in Boston, or similar to it. And I learned about the Alexander Lowen work, and Wilhelm Reich. Alexander Lowen created something called bioenergetics, where he said that there were different character types, character structures, and he was using it in strictly a healing modality, helping people get from not being able to cope with their life at all up to coping. But I noticed that within that, it wasn't just around the wounding and the pathology. I noticed that there was something else in there. There was a quality in each of those character structures that they talked about that was amazing, that was strong. And I noticed that, you know, when I learned about who I was, the idea was I found out that I was what I call a creative idealist, but I'd learned that Alexander Lowen called it the schizoid. And I was thinking, boy, that I don't want to be that. I don't really like that. But I noticed that these schizoids that they were describing actually were the creative people. They're the artists. They're the writers. They're the people that bring something new to the world so that everybody else can find the Einsteins. They were the ones that bring something that nobody's seen before. And what I noticed was they had created this beautiful system that I discovered who I was within. And I noticed that I wasn't the knowledgeable achiever, which is what I always wanted to be, but I was really this creative idealist. And when I found that out about myself, all my life started making sense. I could look back at all of these things that I should have been able to do well that I just couldn't. And I just didn't have the presence and the focus and the drive that achievers have. And yet I brought this energy and this playfulness and creativity to my life. And when I started recognizing that, oh, well, that's my greatness rather than something I should be ashamed of, my whole life changed. And what I've found is that there's so many men that are soft, they're either caretakers or lovers or creative people, and like myself, and they're trying to be what society wants you to be, which is an achiever or a leader or something like that. And there are so many women out there that are leaders and achievers who society tells them they really should be the lovers and the caretakers, and nobody's really told they should be the creative Fruit Loops. That's something that you're just sort of born to and have to do. But really, I started recognizing that there were these five amazing qualities within people, and that made me understand that we have this sort of unbendable and non-negotiable soul quality, and this is what where the Reese Method profiles differ from all other profiling systems, and there are some very good profiling systems out there, Myers-Briggs, DISC, Enneagram, they're very, very good, but they tend to be behavioral. And by learning about these through energy medicine, where we're working with chakras and the deeper sources of energy that you feel rather than think, I started recognizing that these were not something that you would create based on a trauma in your life, as Reich and Lowen had hypothesized, but really are things that you come in and they're sort of stamped on your forehead when you come in the door. And so when I realized that, I said, well, so everybody's got one of these, the big why. They all have a big why, and the five basic big whys are you're a creative person, you're a soft, loving, gentle person, you're a strong, caretaking person who loves people, you are a achiever, a knowledgeable person that's very, very good and sometimes meticulous and able to organize your thoughts and see the big picture. And then there are leaders in the world who are just people that are, by their nature, their energy is so big, they're inspirational in whatever they do, and you want to be around them. And these five kinds of people in the world are what make up the entire world. And you know, as you're bringing inspiration to the world, it's important to understand that we've been taught that the only people that are allowed to bring inspiration to the world are these leaders who can talk you in circles. But the truth is that the quiet, soft, gentle, loving person who never says a word is bringing a level of inspiration to the world that's actually healing it, maybe even at a higher level than the big speaker who gets out and stands up on stage or is in a movie or is a politician. So I learned that the big why is something that we all have, and it's not something that we should ever be ashamed of. We need to discover it and then enhance it, because it's the only thing that will ever make us truly happy.
Yeah, because once you discover what that is, you know, kind of the why, or, you know, that particular type of a profile, I mean, it releases you from, you know, the expectations, you know, trying to fulfill expectations, you know, that either family or society or any of the institutional structures create, trying to indicate this is who you should be when it in fact isn't you.
Right. And even though when you know who you are, you can work in any environment or be in any relationship because you're not defining yourself by it. If you don't know who you are, you're constantly trying to get the world to define you, and you're always struggling with it in hopes that what I do now, this will be my thing. This is it, right? This will be the job. This will be the relationship. This will be, you know, I'll do this diet. This will be the one that makes me healthy. And and the truth is that they don't, and they won't, and we're sold the advertisement on all those things. But what makes you happy? What finds the career you love? What awakens you to how you truly want to be treated in a relationship, and finding and being open to that person coming to you, comes from the openness to this deeper quality within you that's a felt quality rather than a thought quality. So we learn to feel who we are at this deep level and be called by that, rather than sort of rationalize it through, which is how we learned in school. We were all taught in school, don't go into school until you've done your homework. Don't try that until you figure out what's going to happen. And that's not the way life works. Life happens, and you feel it, and then you learn. You can't pre-learn life. Life happens, and if you're open to life happening that way and recognizing that the law of attraction is always happening perfectly, you can't attract your energy field. And in energy medicine, we look at the aura as it's basically a very large magnet, and it is the law of attraction. Your chakras are the law of attraction. And so each person, each profile has a different, you know, different combination of energies that attract very specific things in your life. And if you don't know who you are, your life is always confusing, and especially if you don't know who you are, you're going to try to be one of the profiles that may not be your own. And when you do that, life will come to you the way it's supposed to come to you, and you won't recognize it as yours. You'll say, "Oh, well, that's not my life. I want to be there."
Yeah. You know, there was one quote in your book, or one line in your book that I'm going to be using on future shows, because you wrote that who you are is your life purpose. And I thought, you know, I mean, there are so many people I've had come on my show who have, you know, whenever I've had intuitive guests in and they could call in and ask questions, I can't count how many people call in and say, wanting to know what is their purpose. And I just thought,
what is your purpose, right?
Yeah, you know, and then I thought, you know, that one line, who you are is your life purpose, to me, it was like, I mean, that really encapsulates it all, you know, and so it seems to me that those people who are seeking or who want to find out what their life purpose is, really trying to find out about themselves, right? I mean, really seeking themselves out.
Yes. Yes, and it does it, you know, you need to go inside first, and this book is all about discovering your life purpose. It doesn't say discover everyone else's life purpose, even though by discovering your purpose, you will have to look through all five of these qualities: the creative quality, the caretaking quality, the loving quality, the achieving quality, and the leading quality. And you'll have to look at and notice that you do some of all of those, but one of those has always been with you since you were a child. And there's also an exercise in there called The Secret Place, where I teach you how to really feel who you've always been. And that's the person that you are. And when you were a child and you played, you had some place that you played and loved to be, you know, out, maybe outside, or I used to fish on the end of my dock, and I always imagined that I was going to catch a dolphin off of out in Lake Winnipesaukee in New Hampshire in freshwater. And I always, as a kid, I had this amazing imagination, and I loved to. That was what I loved to do. And one of the parts of who I am, one of my other secret places was I had a little rocky knoll that I would hide in. Sort of, it was the sun would come into it, and there were sticks and rocks in the bottom of it, and leaves that would collect in there. And it was up behind my house in Massachusetts, in Winchester, and I would imagine that I was making superheroes. I was literally, I'd take sticks and I'd put little arms in the leaves, and I'd, you know, imagine that this one does this, and this one burrows underground, and this one can fly, and this one can be invisible, and this one, and of course later on with the X-Men, I was like, yeah, that's what I like to do. But what I realize now that I'm doing in the world, in my school, and each year we have about 125 people that come to the school spend the whole year developing this deep self-awareness. I realize that what I'm doing with them is I am helping them discover their superhero inside of themselves, this greatness within them that nobody else has. And it's something we tend to, especially with the internet and so much out there, we tend to try to immediately compare ourselves, and we look at something on the internet and say, wow, I could never do that. Oh my God, look at that. And there are people that are great at very specific things. And sometimes those are fantastic and entertaining, but sometimes the most important qualities within us are the way we interact with the people that we love, the way we are able to just hold a certain presence, the way we see how things organize. And so each person needs to step back and say, who I am right now, that's my purpose. And there's no, I'm going to get somewhere else and get it. It's a matter of letting yourself open to what your real gifts are in this moment. And throughout the book, there are tools to recognize that we all have both higher traits and lower traits. And sometimes those lower traits can actually be our greatest strength. I use the example of Martin Luther King being just an incredible altruist. Right? I mean, everybody knows him as someone who sacrificed his life to really for the integrity of humanity. And yet he had a horrible narcissistic problem and issues that he had in his life that that he struggled with and had depression and had all sorts of shadow issues. But those, but that energy, that tumultuous, you know, lower self energy and narcissism actually is the essence of what makes a great altruist, because someone who is willing to die for their cause has got to be willing to walk away from everyone that they love and be and know that he was the only one that could do that. There was no one else that could take his place. And I have heard stories that he did decide to leave the country and not die, and knew that he was going to, that he was likely to be assassinated. But he, at some point, knew that he had to be the one. And the only way you can know you're the one is if you have that sense of entitled, sort of, this is my right, this is what I do. And so each person, you know, when they recognize that even these shadow qualities that we try to avoid in ourselves or run away from are actually teaching us an enormous amount about ourselves. And you know, my years of having these crazy dreams and seeing energy in a certain way and perceiving the soul quality in people, which I always saw, and the profiles gave me a language to describe it. I never thought anybody wanted to hear any of that stuff from me. I mean, who would want to know what you're, you know, like, I see this about you, you've got this great quality, and great, you know, they wanted to hit a better backhand as far as I knew. They wanted to be shown how to make more money in life or do whatever it was. And now I find out that all they want to hear from me is that, is that thing. And that's, but it's recognizing that often our greatest gifts are the things we give the least amount of value to because they're so easy for us. And the book is about remembering that some of these things that are so easy for you are actually skills that not only will make you happy and bring you into sort of a healthy environment within yourself, but also if you're a creative idealist or an emotional intelligence specialist or a team player, which are the three they're not in power in the world right now, it's your mission to remind people how important it is. Each of those qualities are essential if we're going to, as a planet, as humanity, if we're going to come into any sort of balance. Because right now the leaders and the achievers are running everything, and they are not doing a good job, and they do not support these sort of the creative, the artistic, the soft-hearted and the caretaking people. You know, they take advantage of them rather than seeing them as essential players in the whole world becoming empowered and coming into balance.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, those, and we're going to talk just in a few more minutes about you know, specifically each of the five profiles. But I agree that, you know, those you know, the leaders and the achievers right now, I mean, it's kind of like they view, I mean, since that's their strong area, you know, that they view that, you know, that it's their responsibility in a way, you know, or maybe their given right, you know, to go ahead and have the world, you know, follow them and, you know, achieve according to, you know, their perspective, when in fact, you know, there's a whole other side to the coin that's really not being looked at.
Right. And of course, when the leader and the achiever are in their defenses, and we can talk a little bit about that. They specifically, the leader, when they're in the defense, it's all about them. It would have been they will take advantage of any situation. You know, the shadow leaders, the gurus that turn bad, the politicians who are more serving corporations than the people. That's a very typical way that the leader will align themselves with whatever gets them the most in their lifetime, and that's what we call that the enforcer quality. Or the seducer quality. They will seduce us into believing them even when they know that they're lying. They know that there's no truth in what they're saying, but it gets them power and control. So we have a culture that believes that the more you get before you die, the better off you are. And so there's a almost a dog eat dog kind of mentality, rather than recognizing that there's enough wealth and money to go around to everybody on the planet, and it shouldn't be held within the top, say, half a percentage of the people should manage most of the money, even though the leaders and the achievers right now are the ones who you know work by that. And then the achiever, the defense, or the shadow quality of the people that are these achievers and these knowledgeable achievers, who are also the sages in the world, is a quality that is what we call the rule keeper. They're rigidly driven for success, and so they will, you know, that they and they will look at and they will look at you know, other people and say, well, you're just not trying hard enough. You know, if you tried as hard as I did, you'd be as wealthy as I am. And that's everybody earns what they get. And mm-hmm. Everybody should know how to do what I do. And that rigidity lets them be very successful, but isolates them very much. Whereas the shadow charismatic leader will often have a massive political following, even though they don't always tell the truth. And because they're incredibly charming, but later on people find out and they're like, oh my God, we were betrayed by that person, they were being betrayed the whole time. They wanted to give their power over to these charming people. So there are plenty of those out there right now, and so it's creating this imbalance where it's true that the leaders and the achievers are going to have to lead us out of this because they're the strongest characters, but they're going to have to see the value in someone who is their, you know, they see the value of the team player working for them, but they don't really see them as valuable because they're not generating enormous income. What they're doing is they're just making everybody in the business happy, which they don't understand is what the heart of the business is. So each of the different qualities have enormous spiritual value, as well as value in our society.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I just want to let listeners know, in a few minutes we're going to be taking a real quick break, and if you have any questions that you would like to ask Reese, you can feel free to call in at 619-789-4359, or for those of you who are listening live in the chat room, if you have a question that you would like for me to pose to Reese, feel free to type it in, and we will be sure to get to it. Just before we go to the break, Reese, I just want to kind of let people know that the system that one uses, that's in your book, to identify your particular life purpose profile, it's a series of statements, I believe, I guess you would say, that it's broken down into 20 sections, five statements per section, and you're asked to just kind of put a check mark next to, you know, any of them that resonates with you. So it's really feeling-based, really, correct? And then you can identify multiple within a category if you feel that's appropriate, correct?
That's correct. And so it's a very simple test. I have much more advanced tests that we have as well. But in the book, there's a very simple test that allows you to get a feel for the areas that you already are drawn to in your life.
Okay, great.
Which of these five qualities you tend toward?
Great. Okay. Well, let me go ahead and take that quick break. And then when we come back, again, I want to just kind of highlight, we've talked about the different types of profiles, but let's go ahead and just kind of lay it out, you know, bit by bit, so that the listeners understand each one of them. And then we'll continue to talk. There's so many areas I really wanted to get to. I want to talk about vows, that secret place and the shadow. I mean, there's just so many areas that I want to cover. So everyone, stay tuned. We're going to be right back after this very brief break.
This is Robert Sharp from Bringing Inspiration to Earth. There are several ways for a win-win situation where you can support our work and you receive a quality product. You can purchase the book or ebook of Joy Potential or It's No Secret Spirituality Bites. Each book has helped readers shift their perspective away from negativity towards a happier, less stressful life. Or you can shop at our wellness store, where we offer essential oils, personal care, and wellness products. I am a very frugal shopper, and these are high-quality items I use that really contribute to my well-being. Or you can purchase our amazing nature photo greeting cards. These are great all-occasion, unique 5x7 folding cards. They're my most popular nature photos, and everyone who has received one raves about the scene. All options are available at our website, www.biteradio.me, and I am very appreciative of your support of our efforts and the work of our special radio guests.
Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us. And again, I do appreciate your support and support of our guests. And today's very special guest is Rhys Thomas. He is author of Discover Your Purpose, 5 Life Purpose Profiles to Unlock Your Hidden Potential. And he's also creator of the Rhys Thomas Institute in the Boston area and also of the Rhys Method Life Purpose Profile System. So you can find out more all about that by visiting Rhys's website, which is www.rhysmethod.com, and that's R-H-Y-S method.com. And again, there is a direct link in the show page description. So with that, we're back, Rhys.
Hi. And if you want to get the book directly, it's discoveryourpurposebook.com. And that'll get you all sorts of extra book bonuses as well if you go there and just click through, and you'll eventually buy the book through Amazon, but you'll be able to get some videos and audios and things to support your journey with the book. By the way, the book does come with a member site which has meditations and various different downloads that you'll get with the book. So it's a multimedia type of an adventure.
Great, thank you. And I'll be sure to put that link in the show page description once we finish. And I did go to that website, downloaded the audios, loved them. I mean, the guided meditations were really great. So it's wonderful to be able to have that multimedia experience too. So yes, it's a very interactive program that you have there, which is great. Okay, well, let's talk now a little bit about, again, you know, if we can go ahead and list the 5 life purpose profiles and maybe, I mean, I know we talked a little bit about them during the first half of the show, but maybe if we can just go, you know, 1 through 5.
Yeah.
And let the listeners get a good idea.
Yes. So just thinking about people that you know, if the listeners can sort of think about people that you know, and you know people that are what we call a creative idealist, and when they're in their panic mode or then their defense, they're called thinkers, and they tend to be very into arts and science or computers. They like conspiracy theory. They will be the people that you'll be talking to, and their eyes are looking up at the ceiling. They're not necessarily paying attention all the time. And you're like, are you here? And you wonder sometimes if they're actually present, or something happens in the room, and about 20 minutes later you say, well, remember when that person said that? And they'll say, what person? And they won't necessarily be fully present in their lives because they spend a lot of time thinking in their mind and creating, and they're sort of downloading information from the upper world, from the creative world. Rather than being really present and solid in the world, so that is called the creative idealist. And whether you have that, or you have a child like that, or a spouse like that, when they are in their essence, they are playful and bubbly and love to go out to new restaurants and try new things and all that. But when they're in their not so resourceful state, they will tend to be. They'll tend to have a lot of anxiety, and be worried and hide and try to be invisible in any sort of a stress or aggressive situation, they will not. They are non-aggressive people, so they step back and hide. So that's the first one, and that's what we call the creative idealist. And so you want to think about if you are that, or you know people like that, and learning about each of these, whether they're yours or not, teaches you how to really support other people in being in their life purpose. Because so often, like with creative idealists, people say to them, you need to get more grounded, you need to put roots down, you need to be more solid. Mm-hmm. And it'll never work. They don't get it. It's like, because they're not grounded doesn't mean they're not where they're supposed to be. They're expanded, not grounded, because they're there to bring information to all the rest of the grounded people who need to get the job done in a brand new and better way. And so they're not, their job isn't to stay grounded and just be work, work, work. Their job is to bring the creativity. So the second one, which is up the ladder of presence, I guess you'd call it, is what we call they're the deep feelers. They're the most sensitive and most importantly, we call them the emotional intelligence specialists. And when they're in their non-resourceful state, they're the people that are exhausting because they act like poor me. They feel like a poor me. They feel like they're not enough. They're always complaining about my arm's sore. I don't have enough energy. I can't walk up those stairs. I'm homeless. I'm feeling bad. And there's a down place. And yet, when they're in their core, they are the people who can unconditionally love. They love just the moment. They're so gently, they can see a flower and it just melts them. They can go to a museum and just see art that just completely just melts them into their body and into their feelings, and their heart just opens wide. You can feel their heart in them. They have so much caring. And the key with them is that they are never, ever, ever aggressive. They are gentle souls. And that's a really important thing to keep in mind if you're thinking that's who you are, because if you have torn someone's head off recently, you may not be in that category. But if you have a deep sort of sense of love and compassion, and also overwhelm, just like the world is just too much at the same time, that puts you in this what we call the emotional intelligence specialist. Your mission, your purpose in the world is to bring this the heart to each situation, to understand that in each moment, the silence in the moment, the quietness, that gentleness, that's what's important. And so the emotional intelligence specialist doesn't do well in crowds and loud noises. They don't, because they're so sensitive. And when they're in their non-resourceful state, everything bothers them, and they will not want to be around any loud noises or boisterous people or crowds. And they'll get exhausted immediately by being in those groups. When they're in defense, when they're in their core, they can be in any group of people and have an open heart and just share and love. The next one, so that's the second one. So the first one is creative idealist. The second one is emotional intelligence specialist. And so think about people you know like that, or maybe that's you. Going to the third one, which are what we call caretakers. And we call them the team players. They are the people who have 500 people on their cell phone, and they call every one of them. They are people that can make friends with a snake. They have an amazing ability to get along with people, have a smile for everyone, say something nice to people. They are warm. They tend to have bodies that feel very warm, like you want to hug them. And they do. They give the best hugs. They are wonderful huggers. And yet that same person who really cares enormously about other people has a very difficult time when they're in their non-resourceful state asking for anything for themselves. And so they go through their lives feeling often like a doormat, like, oh, I'm not going to get this, I don't get that, I don't ever get my own needs, I'm always taking care of everybody else, and no one ever listens to me, nobody ever cares about me, nobody appreciates all that I do for them, because they do it and do it and do it, and then when other people say, can I do this for you, they say, no, I'm good, I'm okay, I'll take care of it, and then later on they're thinking, well, nobody did anything for me, but they don't allow themselves to be taken care of, to have the joy of having someone else give to them, and so in their defense, they can become incredibly resentful that they're the only ones in the family that do anything. They do everything for everyone else and nothing for themselves. So that's what we call the team player. When they're in their defense, they're people-pleasing. That's a people-pleasing activity that where you're doing things to get other people to like you rather than doing things to create a great relationship. And they are the ones that actually teach us the value of a 50-50 relationship, that it's really important. All relationships need to have a 50-50 split. And when they're in their core, they will love to do things for you, but they will also allow you to do things for them and support them and be part of their lives in a balanced way. So that's number three. Those are called team players. And number four are what we call knowledgeable achievers. And they are the folks that have got straight A's through school, have multiple letters behind their names. They see the big picture in life. They're the people that were able to sort of decide, well, this is where I'm gonna develop this skill, I'm gonna develop this business because I can see that the trends are this. I've been reading the Wall Street Journal, and I can see that this is how the trend is going. So I'm going to get into this business now because in 15 years it'll be the big. And they're right. And they develop systems and structure for the world in the world because that's the way their brain works and operates. And so they're able to look at any situation. They're able to walk into your living room and say, that couch doesn't belong there. It belongs over here. And they mm-hmm. they don't know why they know these things. Or if you ask them, what's the best way to get from here to there, they'll know. They have an uncanny ability to know the direct route to anything because they've also studied and learned an enormous amount. And when they're in their defense, they're very rigid and they are people who we call them. Rule keepers, and they would rather, and part of that is they'd rather be right than happy. They would rather stand by the rule and fire somebody rather than because the check mark, you've got five check marks against and only two, four, so I have to let you go. I'm really sorry, you didn't do well. And they will they can be very heartless to others and also to themselves because that knife cuts both ways. They are incredibly critical of themselves, and they are the worst internal critics. We all have a tough internal critic. Theirs is punishing because even though they're incredibly successful usually in their lives, they will always say they could have done better. And so you may know people like that, and they will push themselves beyond their limits and become workaholics. Our culture admonishes, and not admonishes, admonishes is to reject. Our culture supports people in being super achievers and working themselves to death because they become incredibly successful. It's like it didn't matter how you got there, you became successful. And so they tend to do that to themselves. They tend to lose their self-love and just work themselves like machine. So that's called the knowledgeable achiever, and that's the fifth one. And you may be that. You may know people like that, or you may have some of that in you. And then the last one are the charismatic leaders, and they are everything else. They have this huge energy, and they are charming. They are charismatic. They can talk you that when they were children, you have a charismatic leader child. Everything's a negotiation with them. And at 3 or 4 years old, often they're running the household. They're the ones that have figured out how to charm daddy and to stand and yell and scream and do a thing. And they do that basically for their whole life because their mission in life, whereas the knowledgeable achiever's mission in life is to come in and see how things should operate better. And often as when they were 2 or 3 years old, they could see that the parents had no idea what they were doing and started helping around the house and organizing things. The charismatic leader comes into the world and just knows that everything that is laid before them is theirs and should be. and so they're born feeling entitled to have people serve them and be in a leadership position. And often they don't get that. And when they don't get that, or when they're punished for trying to be controlling and manipulative, they then will play a different profile, or they will, because they're natural actors and actresses, and they will learn how to gain control through a lot of different shadow ways, rather than standing up and saying, "No, I would prefer to lead, and this is how I will do it," and I'm willing to do that. They will they might play a team player and until you all depend on them for doing everything, and then they're in charge again. And so the charismatic leader is a very they can come in almost any form. The obvious ones are warriors and politicians and actors and actresses, but they also come in, you know, they also can really appear like Pormese when they have, you know, they'll be the ones that have the most addictive personalities because they have the most energy, and so they will have a very strong, you know, alcoholic and things like that. They can have that type of shadow side where they have so much energy and they know deep inside, they know, every one of them knows that they're here to do something great. And when they aren't allowed to, that energy has to go somewhere, and sometimes it turns back against itself, and it can be very self-defeating through overeating or addictions of any kind. And they tend to be the ones that have this, you know, the most powerful negative reactions to life, as well as the most powerful positive, and they are the ones that inspire us. They are the Martin Luther Kings of the world. They are the Nelson Mandelas. They're the ones that are the Oprahs. They're the ones that stand out and are willing to do whatever it takes to get their mission, their message across. And they are people who need a mission. They absolutely have to have a mission. If they don't have a mission, you will become their mission. Controlling you will become their mission, and that's not a healthy thing. So you may know people like that, and they tend to be the hardest to deal with when they're in their defense. They're the ones that will have rage, tantrums, punch, hit, you know, scream, and yet when they're in their core, you feel like a million bucks around them all the time because they charm you. They tell you how wonderful you are, and they're telling the truth. They're not lying. They're actually able to see the greatness in others because they feel the greatness in themselves.
Yeah.
So those, you know, and that's
Go ahead. You were going to summarize them.
So it's five. The five again are creative idealists and thinker, which is when they're in their panic. Emotional intelligence specialist and poor me, which is their defense. The team player, who will often people please, and the knowledgeable achiever, who sometimes will be highly critical and rigid, and be the rule keeper. And then the charismatic leader, charmer, who can also be the tough battler, enforcer, or seducer. They will manipulate.
Yeah. Now with these, you know, I mentioned I went ahead and did my profile, so I'm happy to share a little bit with that.
Yeah.
But and the reason being, first of all, when you go through this, you tend to have a primary profile. There's one that kind of stands out, and there is a possibility of an equally strong, in two areas. For example, this is what I'm saying. In my case, I came up with the creative idealist was my primary, and then secondary, I had a tie. And I think, you know, this kind of happens when you identify, from what I could understand, is when you identify more than one item within a group, you know, that kind of resonate with you. So anyway, with mine, I had my secondary was a tie between team player and knowledgeable achiever. So I mean, it was excuse me.
So here's my question for you. One of the other elements of the book is we talk about the fact that these are soul qualities, and so your entire energy system serves that quality, including your body. And so the question is, are you tall and thin?
Taller and used to be thin.
Are you more evenly balanced like the knowledgeable achiever?
More evenly balanced, I think it would be
good descriptor. And chances are good if you saw that you've had hundreds of radio shows and are a wonderful host and organizer and structure and created this. Your creative idealist wants to do the radio show and wants to do this bringing inspiration. But I would say that your creative idealist, that there are knowledgeable achievers that have a very high creative idealist quality within them, just like charismatic leaders, they have a high emotional because they're so passionate. They'll see themselves in the emotional intelligence specialist as well. And so the next level of this is to say, you know, I don't have the body type for this type, but I definitely am highly creative and I love the creative work. Well, but you take that creative work and you do things with it, right?
Exactly. Yes. Yes, very much so.
And that's the definition of the knowledgeable achiever. And so the questions can lead you to see how you love creativity, but then you have to ask yourself, well, hey, I had a really strong knowledgeable achiever secondary. When I have my creative ideas, do I do things with them? That's a knowledgeable achiever. When the creative idealist has an idea, they tend to then just have another idea, and it's like, wow, that's a great idea. Oh, that's, and then they'll tell somebody about the idea, and say, well, that was a great idea, and then they just go on to the next idea, rather than say, that's a really good idea, let's do something with that. And I'm sure you have some of that, and you may have the creative idealist and knowledgeable achiever sort of as your top two, and then you also have sort of that warm, you know, I can see it, feel it in your voice, and that's another element of the profile. The voice has to reflect the qualities, and so you have this warm, caring quality in you, which has the team player quality. So you brilliantly come across with ideas, but then you also have this deep amount of compassion and caring, and you sort of just let me ramble and then support me, and that's part of that quality. So one of the things that happens with the profile assessment is it teaches you where you're the most comfortable, and as you read the book and read the individual elements, you might then reorder them or retake it again and say, oh yeah, I really see those other knowledgeable achiever qualities as well, and then once you're in on our mailing, we'll send you out. We also have other more expanded profile assessments that also assess your secondary profiles and things like that. But for the starting out, you got the most important ones. You got that you have this highly creative and knowledgeable achiever and team playing set of profiles in there. And what that'll do is create something like you have right now, a warm place for people to come and share their wonderful ideas about how to make the world great, in a highly creative way.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, it really fit. As I was going through the descriptions, I mean, truly, it really fit. And the one thing that I find is probably the biggest benefit to going through and working the profiles and learning about the other ones is that, you know, first of all, not only do you understand more about yourself and you recognize those gifts, you know, and you give the appropriate attention to them, but you also don't beat yourself up for areas that just really aren't part of your core soul, you know, essence, you know, and a lot of people, you know, do have that self-critical aspect, and, you know, to me that's a value as well, to be able to minimize that.
Right, and one of the elements that we didn't talk about, which is a big part of the book, is to understand that when we're children and we come into the world, we know who we are, and when we're not allowed. So, for instance, both my parents were teachers. I don't think they would have had any problem with me being a creative idealist and being sort of, you know, out in my own little world. And yet, but I grew up. My dad was an athlete and a tennis pro and taught the wrestling team and he was a coach for the wrestling team and the tennis team and the soccer team. And I was thinking, yeah, that's the guy's got to be good competitors. And I just basically looked around and said, I'll be better off. And my mom was a knowledgeable achiever, and she I knew that if the better I did at things and the more I was sort of successful at doing things, the more attention I got in the family. And so I made a vow to be more of this one quality within me and less of the other quality. And it wasn't a vow, it wasn't like sort of just a thought that said, hey, I think I'll be more like this than that. It was that part of me that came in to be who I am had to realize that that was never going to get loved. It wasn't going to be accepted. And when we realize that that a core quality within us, and we all realize that some of these qualities within us that are so genuine are not going to be accepted. We're not, you know, if you're a leader and you come into a household with two very strong parents, they're not going to let you take over the house. They're going to punish you and put you down when you are trying to be a leader. Or if you're a natural team player, and you're trying to help everybody all the time, you may have a parent that says, hey, don't be a wimp, you know, do it for yourself and don't be doing it for other people. And what's the matter? You know, even though most of the time if you say, hey, I'll vacuum the house for you, they'll let you do that, but they'll more support you in being in people pleasing side of it than in the team player that has everybody work together. So we have these moments where we realize that we can't be who we are as children, and we make what I call a vow to always be something or never be something. And after a while, we end up believing that's who we are, and as adults, we try to be that person. So I tried to be that achiever, and by the time I was in my teenage years and wanted to be a martial artist and a competitive tennis player and I started teaching and I started doing all sorts of things that knowledgeable achievers would do, I started on the path of discovering that that's who I am. And so I do have knowledgeable achiever in me, but it's not my highest quality. And yet I chose that throughout my life as the way I would express myself, because it was going to be loved more. It was going to be supported more. And each person has to discover what type of vows they've made against being their core quality. And you will, as you read the book, you'll notice that there are quite a few vows to sacrifice yourself in some way that doesn't allow you now as an adult to live your purpose. And to then challenge that takes real courage. But when you discover who you are, you get the courage and the energy back that you need. Because every time you challenge one of those lies about I'll always be good, but sometimes I'm not. You know, so sometimes I need to stand up for myself and say no to people and do something for me. That when you do it for the first few times, it's very scary, but it actually calls back your energy because it brings your life more into balance and more into power. And as you come in more into balance in your life and recognize that what you vowed to be all the time is part of you, but what you vowed not to be is also part of you and needs to also be integrated, this is when, you know, you really can see your profile in the deepest possible way.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, as a matter of fact, you know, that chapter on beliefs, wounds, and vows, to me, the vows, and you call them super beliefs, you know, to me, that I loved that whole section, you know, because, you know, I mean, you talked about it, you know, those are the things that are lodged in your unconscious mind. You don't even, it's kind of like an automatic reaction. You don't even give a chance to consider whether they're right or wrong or, you know, the value that they have in your life. And boy, I mean, keep you stuck in your past. They suck your energy. I mean, there's this whole lots of things that
everything.
Those vows
and
do.
Right. And most importantly, if I vow to always be good, and someone is really being abusive to me, but I vowed to be good, I have to take it. I can't go punch that person. I can't say, don't you dare treat this fantastic thing this way. I can't. I have to be nice because my vow tells me. So your decisions, when you realize that when you really work on your vows in a way like we do at the school where we work through every one of the energy centers and really develop this awareness of your vows, you realize that your vows make the decision for you before the thing even happens. And so when something happens, you can't, you know, deep inside you want to react one way, but you can't do it for some reason. You can't raise your hand and say, I want it to be my turn. I want the last piece of cake. You can't say that. You end up automatically responding, whatever the vow has told you that you are. And then after a while, you've done it enough times, you say, well, I'm just a nonviolent person. I'm just a non-aggressive. I'm just that kind of person. And then after a while, that's who you believe that you are. But the truth is that you're so much more. So I wanted to. I know we're running out of time here. You had mentioned something before about who you are is your life purpose. And it's just important for everybody to sort of it's just a fun creative idealist concept is that who you are, who you truly are, is actually nobody ever is able to or nobody will ever actually want you to be who you are because who you are is unique. Who you are is not going to necessarily serve them. People when they tell you who you ought to be, your parents tell you who you should be, it's because it's what they want you to be. If people have wanted you to be what they want you to be your whole life. And in some way, we've had to modify ourselves to fit that model. And our parents are our number one people that we try to please first, and then it's our teachers, and then it's our friends, and, and then our work situations. And the truth is that people don't want you to be who you are. They want you to be who they want you to be. And yet, when you are who you are, you give them this amazing gift of letting them see what it's like to be a person who stands fully in their power, fully in this I love myself enough to be unique, to be an individual. And each of the, even though we all have one of these profiles, the way you're going to express that profile is essential for the whole world. And you need to stand and fight for that in your life and not fight for who you think you should be, but who you really are.
I agree. Well, Reese, this has really been a true delight. I want to thank you for your time. And again, I really did enjoy reading your book. Obviously, I'll have to go back through it, you know, time and time again, because you have so many tools in there to use, and they're very, very helpful. And those are the kinds of things you'll do it to, you know, use one of the tools and then have to stop and try and think about it and integrate it into your life and question exactly, you know, some of the beliefs, you know, that one, you know, that you hold, and whether or not, you know, those are false beliefs or maybe even one of those vows that you make to yourself. And
right.
And then kind of undo, try to undo, not try to, but you will undo them and then start to live more fully.
Yep.
So I really want to thank you for your time. I've really enjoyed our chat.
Well, thank you, Robert. I've enjoyed it, too.
Thank you very much. Again, everyone, today my very special guest has been Reese Thomas, author of Discover Your Purpose, 5 Life Purpose Profiles to Unlock Your Hidden Potential. Again, you can find out more by visiting his website, which is www.reesemethod.com, and that's R-H-Y-S method.com. And you can also go to discoveryourpurposebook.com. And there you can get the book and also get some of the other member benefits as well. So definitely it's a must-buy from this particular host. So everyone, I want to thank you very much for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again, thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's BITERADIO.ME. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Bite Radio Me, and our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.